All right, Matthew chapter 12. Verse 10, the Pharisees had asked this of this man with the withered hand. They were asking the Lord if it was lawful to heal on a Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Our Lord said, "What man among you shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." And then he said to this man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And then the Pharisees went out, and they held a council. They took counsel together how they might destroy him. And when Jesus knew, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." You see here, there's a great contrast between the Pharisees and our Lord Jesus Christ. A great contrast. The Pharisees acted powerful, pious. They acted wise. They disdained Christ. They disdained poor sinners. And they were ready to break and quench and destroy Christ and poor sinners. In reality, they were powerless. They had no power. They were impotent. In reality, they were unholy and unrighteous and spiritually ignorant. Now contrast that. The Lord Jesus is all-powerful. He's omnipotent God in human flesh. He's God the Father's beloved, as Isaiah said. Matthew's quoting here from Isaiah 42. He's God's beloved, preeminent elect. He's the one the Father upholds. That means he honors him. He holds him up and as honor. You remember when we saw how the king of Israel came and he was leaning on one of his lords? That was a position of honor. When you leaned on him, you trusted him, and it was a position of honor. That's what it means. He upheld him. He gave him this position of honor. He said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Christ is holiness. He is righteousness. Perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect wisdom. And therefore, how different he acted and still does toward his weak, sinful people. Read there in verse 20, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." I want to preach a message, a comfort for bruised reeds. I want to look at sinners saved by grace, and then the Redeemer's tender mercy, and then the judgment he sends unto victory. Now this metaphor fits a sinner saved by grace. It could be applied to others, but it really fits a sinner saved by grace. A bruised reed and smoking flax. Now, it fits his child when the Lord first begins to teach us about our sin and teach us what sinners we are and convict us of our sin and teach us the gospel. It definitely fits that description. A bruised reed and smoking flax. But it also applies to the Lord's child as he grows his child in grace and knowledge of him. And the more he grows us in grace and knowledge of him, the more he makes us to experience that in ourselves we're bruised reeds and smoking flax. When he first calls us to faith, we're far too confident in ourselves, far too confident in our own strength. A new believer tends to use the doctrine of election and the doctrine of particular redemption with the same spirit that the disciples did when they first began. You remember after the Lord called his disciples, it hadn't been very long, and he'd sent them out to preach, gave them some power and a little ability. And on one occasion, the Samaritans rejected him. And a few of his disciples said, "Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elias did." And the Lord turned and he rebuked them and he said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save." He didn't come to break the bruised reeds and quench the smoking flax. He came to save his people. The Syrophoenician woman came crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." His disciples, fairly new in the faith, they came and they besought him and they said, "Send her away. She keeps crying after us." But after years of trials, after years of experiencing themselves to be broken reeds and smoking flax and experiencing the Lord's tender mercy and his continued loving kindnesses and his continued grace and mercy, later you find those same disciples writing the epistles and you find them humble, meek, delighting in mercy. Totally different spirit in them. That's what the Lord does throughout our life, and that's what he's going to continually teach us throughout our life. And this metaphor is very fitting for a sinner saved by grace, bruised reeds and smoking flax, because bruised reeds and smoking flax are weak things, they're worthless things, they're offensive things. And that's a good description of us and ourselves. A bruised reed has no strength. You take a reed, you know what he's talking about. It grows about by the swamp and or by the creek, and it doesn't take much to bruise them. And they bend over, and they have no ability. They just bend over. They're just weak. A baby could just blow on it and just blow it over. It describes a believer bruised by his own sin, bruised by reproach from those that would break him and quench him, bruised by weak faith, little assurance, bruised by unbelief and doubts and fears. If you tried to blow air through a bruised reed, you can take reeds and make a pipe, you know, and blow in it and make music. But if you tried to do that through a bruised reed, if it did make any sound, it'd be offensive. It's usually in this state of bruising when we unbridle our tongue. The Lord's greatest lessons is not only concerning our personal sin, but our reaction to sin. And we become bruised reeds, smoking flax. But the Lord can make a bruised reed his workmanship. He can make a bruised reed his workmanship. He doesn't break them. He makes them his workmanship. He brings them to make sweet music by showing them mercy and grace and loving kindness so they sing his praises. That's what's going to make us love mercy and loving kindness. It's his mercy and loving kindnesses. Smoking flax is offensive to smell. It's offensive. It just pollutes the room and burns the eyes. The flax was like a hemp that you set on fire, and the thing about smoking flax is there's fire present, but there's more smoke than there is fire. There's fire in the Lord's child where he's taking the coal from off the altar and put it on our tongue and put it in our heart and revealed himself in us. We come into these times where there's not much fire, just a lot of smoke. Smoking flax is not really good for anything. Doesn't light the room. But he doesn't quench it. He doesn't snuff it out. Our Lord hides our sin nature from every eye except his own. He doesn't even let us see it in fullness. If he did, we'd perish. This is the place from where our bruising comes and our smoke comes and is our sin nature. Sometimes, brethren, our faith is so small and our unbelief is great. Sometimes that the waves are going and you're at the crest of the wave and you got some faith. And then not very long, you're down there in that bottom of that swell again. But thankfully, our Lord said, Christ shall not fail and he shall not be discouraged. We become discouraged. We become full of just smoke and just bruising and we become discouraged. But thankfully, Isaiah said, the Lord said through Isaiah, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. He'll never fail. He'll never be discouraged, the Lord Jesus. He knows where he created the fire. He knows where he created the fire in his children. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And he knows where the fire is. And he knows how to kindle that fire and make it flame up again. We come into affliction, all kinds of afflictions. Your mind ever just been troubled by sin and wicked thoughts and just blasphemous thoughts against God? And you think, how could I think that? How could I be a child of God and think that? And you become troubled by it. What about God's afflicting providence? Wave upon wave comes and you become just overwhelmed. You're like a drowning man. And you cry out like David did in the psalm, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I can't even get to Christ. Our Redeemer was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. When he bore the sin of his people and he hung on that cross, he said, I am a worm and no man. This is part of the reason he's so lowly and meek toward his people. He knows what we are. He knows exactly what. He knows we're dust. He knows what we are. And if he's going to grow us in faith to look only to him, and he's going to grow us in communion with him, to have really true communion with him, we sing about a near walk with him. If he's going to do that, you know how he's going to do that? We're going to suffer affliction. We're going to suffer affliction. That's how he's going to purge us and wean us and make us more trusting in him and less trusting in ourselves. And that suffering is going to be severe to us, but it's light compared to what he suffered. And it's light compared to the consolation that he gives to us in the midst of it. What about temptation? Brother Rob just read James, and temptation comes from our when we're tempted to sin, that comes from us. And he shows us what sinful, bruised reeds we are in ourselves and what smoking flax we are in ourselves. Murder and adultery was already in David. It was in his sin nature. It's what his sin nature was. It's what our sin nature is. All it took was the Lord permitting David, just take his hand off of him. And David was made to see he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was made to become well acquainted with that's what he is, a murderer and an adulterer. Never forgot it. His sins were ever before him. So that he saw he was a bruised reed and a smoking flax. But did the Lord break that bruised reed? Did he snuff out that smoking flax? He didn't. He showed him mercy. Showed him kindness. He restored him. What about Hezekiah? Pride was in Hezekiah's nature. It's what his nature was. It's what our nature is. It was there. And the Lord gave him sickness and sent his apostle to him and said, sent his prophet to him and said, you're going to die. Set your house in order. You're going to die. And he went to chattering to the Lord. And the Lord in mercy gave him 15 more years. He was already determined, but he just came into it and said, okay, you're going to live 15 more years. And then he brought all this abundant riches in from all over the land to give to Hezekiah and just enriched the temple and enriched the palace and enriched the kingdom. And he made the sun go backwards. And the Babylonians came. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about what God did. They was interested in, we want to find out about that sun going backwards. Because they worshiped the sun. And it was already in his heart. But what Hezekiah found out is after the Lord had given him health, after the Lord had restored his health, after the Lord had given him riches, he brought those Babylonians in there and showed them all that wealth and showed them everything he had and was just proud of it all and never once gave God the glory. That was temptation. Where'd that come from? It was in him. It was pride that was already in him. All he had to do was just be tempted to show off that brand new shiny vehicle he had, that new chariot, and not tell the people, God gave me this. And not only that, he gave me life. Job was brought to see how sinful he was. He made to see the Lord like he had never seen him in a greater light than he'd ever seen him. And beholding him, he saw what he was. And he said, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I'm just a bruised reed. I'm just smoking flax. Did God break Hezekiah? Did he break Job? Did he just say, I'm done with him. I'm snuffing him out. No. Only our Lord Jesus, this is what he's teaching us, brother. Only our Lord Jesus could say, the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. You and me can't say that. It's in us. It's all we are. It's all we are. We can't say that if it hadn't happened to me, it's only because the Lord ain't let it happen to you. I promise you that. Pride goes before a fall. A haughty spirit going to bring us down. If it hadn't happened, it's just by his restraining mercy. But if it does happen, and you his, he's not going to break the bruised reed. He's not going to quench the smoking flax. He's our strength to bind us up. He's our head who's going to send the Spirit and pour in the oil and make the fire burn. The oil of the Spirit. We're these broken reeds and these smoking flax. Now let's look at his tender mercy. It says there in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench. We see this all through the Scriptures and how he dealt with sinners poor sinners that nobody else would have anything to do with. Harlots. Nobody would have anything to do with them. Religious folks wouldn't. Religion can be mean. Religion can be cruel. Our Lord didn't come to cater to established religion. He came to save. He came to save true orphans and true widows, the most helpless, the ones that couldn't offer any political gain, one that couldn't offer any monetary gain, ones that couldn't offer him anything. That's who he came to save. True sinners. And you take a child of God, it's a bruised reed, and he's smoking flax, and the Lord's brought him to see himself absolutely without any strength. Have you been there? You've been there. Brings him to see himself unworthy of even the least of God's mercies. I'm not just talking. I mean really unworthy of us any mercy. He brings him to a place where he sees himself and he's offensive to himself. Have you ever been offensive to yourself? Have your sins ever been offensive to you? Brings him to see he's offensive to God. Brings him to see he's offensive to everybody he loves. Brings him to see really all he deserves is to be broken and snuffed out. And if God did it, he'd be the least surprised of anybody. That's a broken reed. That's smoking flax. Weak. Offensive. Worthless. He brings you to that place and where your own eyes are burning and teared up from the obnoxious smoke that you are. And then Christ makes him to know he won't break the bruised reed. He won't quench the smoking flax that he everlastingly loved. But he'll bind him up. He'll pour in the oil. He'll speak grace to him. And he'll, by this, grow his child in grace and knowledge of him. This is so true. This is so real. This is so what the Lord does in his people. With a word, he turns you to the cross and he makes you to see him on that cross. And I don't mean just, I mean to see him broken on the cross, to see him broken, to see God's hand on him, breaking him on the cross, see his body broken for his people by the justice of God. And the Lord says to you in this bruised state, in this smoking state, he says, this is why I'm not going to break you. This is why I'm not going to break you, bruised reed. He makes you to see the fire of God's justice coming down, that fierce flame, that perfect fire heated seven times, like that furnace heated seven times, it melts perfectly. It comes down upon him, and you see him bearing it. You see him bearing it and extinguishing that fierce flame of God's wrath. And he says to you, this is why I'm not going to snuff out the smoking flax you are. This is why I'm not going to let that ember I put in your heart to go out. This is why I'm not going to let it to fade into nothing. I'm not going to let it be quenched. I'm not only not going to break you. I'm not only not going to quench you. I'm going to come and heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bind up your wounds. I'm going to pour in the oil because I'm the Savior of sinners.
He makes you to see that he's fulfilling prophecy for you. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. This is not, you look at the Lord Jesus and you think, well, that was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That's the Spirit of the Lord God. The Spirit of the Lord God, holy God, righteous God, who owes us nothing. We're just maggots before him, sinful, writhing, vile, wicked maggot. But his Spirit is, he said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. What are we mourning? What are they mourning? Mourning what we are, mourning what we think, mourning what we say, mourning what we do, mourning how we breathe. Sin, 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 sin. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Why were we in sackcloth and ashes? Because we were broken reeds and smoking flax in the dust. And he said, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. How's this smoking flax? How's this flame going to burn? How's it going to burn? I'm going to give them the oil. And it's going to be an oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And he don't stop working this work. He never repents. He never says of one he purchased with his blood, I'm just going to break that bruised reed. I'm just going to snuff out that smoking flax. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, for I'm the Lord, I change not, and therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Father promised his Son shall not fail, and he proves it over and over. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His bruising makes us rejoice in his strength, makes us know all we are is smoke and no fire, and keeps us glorying in the oil of the Spirit. He keeps us down from pride and keeps us contrite. It's Christ's meekness and lowliness that makes him the high and lofty one. That's what differentiates him from the proud Pharisee. He's the high and lofty one. How did he manifest it? Meek and lowly. And who does he dwell with? How does he keep us in low communion with him? By making us meek and lowly. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that's of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. Why do we need to be revived? Smoking flax. To revive the heart of the contrite one. Why do we need our heart revived? Bruised reeds. He says to Ephraim, return ye black backsliding children. I'll heal ye backsliding. And he makes us say, behold, we come unto thee. For thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. That's what he works through this. His tender mercy, his love, his compassion. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet he'll have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart, and I'll port my portion forever. When Zion cries, the Lord's forsaken me, my Lord's forgotten me. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes. Yes, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee. Why? Behold, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. He says, because I live, you shall live also. Who's he say this to? We just use the word sinners too much. Use the word sin too much. He does it to those who he makes to know are sin. And only sin. And this is the judgment he brings. He sends forth unto victory. You see, in the hidden part, David said, in the hidden part, make me to know wisdom. And what he's doing in this is in the hidden part. In the new man, he's making us know wisdom, capital W. That's what he's doing. He's making us know him, Christ our wisdom. He's making us know that he didn't fail to establish judgment on the cross, and he doesn't fail to establish judgment in our hearts, in discernment in our heart. He won't let his work be interrupted by anybody. He made his child a bruised reed and smoking flax. He shall not fail to give discernment. He shall not fail to send forth judgment. He shall not fail to bring his child to see that Christ is our victory. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's going to send forth this judgment into our heart and turn us from us and turn us to him. And he's the victory. And this is growth. He makes himself to increase. He makes us to decrease. That's the judgment he sends. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. A little bit later, a few more afflictions and troubles and trials. And he said, unto me, whom less than the least of all the saints... Oh, that's a little broader now. I'm less than the least of all the saints. Is this grace given I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? And then in the end, he said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What a wondrous work to make a bruised reed into a tree of righteousness. Do you know what's going to happen when he does that? Tender mercies to a weak and worthless, offensive, broken reed makes you to see that it's only in Christ that we're trees of righteousness. We're just the branches. He's the tree. He's the righteousness. They'll be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. The judgment he increases in our heart unto victory is to know more and more that Christ is the righteous tree, and we're just branches that he makes fruitful by him. He's the date palm that flourishes. We're branches in the date palm, and all our fruits of him. He's the cedar in Lebanon. We're evergreen because we're his branches. He makes us bring forth fruit in old age to show what? The Lord is upright. He's our uprightness. He's our rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. That's all that's in me. There's none in him. Is that so? It is if we're bruised reeds. It is if we're smoking flax.
I mentioned how the disciples began strong in themselves. They were ready to cry down fire. But after years of tender mercy, when they were bruised, wreathed, and smoking flax, and they just beheld his mercy and his mercy, and they decreased and he increased, the more they experienced of his mercy, the more merciful they wanted to be to bruised reeds and smoking flax. The more they experienced his compassion and outbreaking the bruised reeds that they were, the more they wanted to show compassion on bruised reeds. The more loving kindness he showed to smoking flax that they were, the more loving kindness they wanted to show to smoking flax. More consoled by Christ, the more they wanted to console only with Christ. Paul said, the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. Whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation. If we're afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. It's effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Our hope of you steadfast, knowing as you're partakers of the suffering, you shall be of the consolation. And listen to this old age fruit, Peter said. This is old age fruit right here. He wrote, humble yourselves under God's hand. Is the hand on you? Are you bruised? Are you smoking? Is the providence more than you can bear? He said, just humble yourself under his mighty hand and cast all your care on him, because what he's doing in this is he's caring for you. And he said, and while you do this, know the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren. He's accomplishing the same thing in each of your brethren. And here's what he said. He said, the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, he'll establish you, he'll strengthen you, he'll settle you, and to him will be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. What's he declaring? What's he declaring? What's this old disciple who's been around a while and seen something? What's he declaring to us? A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. That's what he's saying. Just wait a little while. That's what he's going to do. Father, we pray you bless this word. Pray you make it effectual in us. Lord, we pray that you bring forth discernment. Make us see that you're our victory in every facet. Every trial, every trouble, from every enemy, and make us cast our care on you. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy. Thank you for your compassion, for your loving kindnesses. Thank you, Lord, that you save sinners. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.